ജ്ഞാനത്തിമിരന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയാ ചക്ഷുരുന്മിളിതം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ. നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപുരുഷനായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശതാരിണേ ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീയദ്വൈതഗദാധർശി വാസതി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാം ഹരേ രാം 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ. സോ ദേർ വാസ് ഡി ടി ഇൻസ്റ്റാളേഷൻ സെറമോണി അറ്റ് പണ്ഡർപൂർ. സോ ഐ ഹാഡ് ഗോൺ ദേർ. ദർ ഇസ് എ ഹോളി പ്ലേസ് വെരി നിയർ ബോംബെ. ഇറ്റ്സ് കോൾഡ് പണ്ഡർപൂർ, വേർ കൃഷ്ണ walked all the way from Dwarka and stood there, hands like this on both of his waist. So that deity is known as Vitthal, Vitthal Dev. You have heard Lord Vitthal, Rukmini Vitthal. So that's one of the ancient deities that is mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visiting there. Lord Chaitanya's brother Vishwarup, he took sannyas and he left his body in Pandharpur, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu accepted initiation at that place at Pandharpur. So Loknath Maharaj has started a new temple there, Radha Pandarinath. So that installation ceremony festival we attended, and I hope your weekend jamming was good, Prerana festival and Sunday feast, Sunday program, enjoyed? Huh? It was better than? Jamming. Amazing, huh?
It was much better than any jamming that we've ever done. Never seen anything on such a large scale. So many youth coming and being so inspired. So it was really...
The population is more anyway. We are number two in the world in population after China. So statistically, we have an advantage. So... no need to feel discouraged. We have numbers. No problem. So the next one will be bigger than this. That's on 16th October. So we are looking for a good title or topic. So if you have any suggestions, you can sound me on that. So whom to preach is today's topic. And we have a few points on this. Who are the people whom we are targeting when you are talking of preaching? Call that devotee who just went. He has not given me the marker pen. Oh, you have it. Okay. So the first point in whom to preach is number one, no restriction. What happened? Yeah, that means that means someone should preach to someone. Who preaches to whom, that is not discussed now. But everyone must be covered. Who covers them, that's a different topic. Okay? That means Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has discussed patra apatra na dekhi. Na dekhi sthana sthan. Patra apatra. Who's qualified, who's not qualified spiritually or in terms of birth and other qualifications. Everyone is recipient, potentially, as far as your preaching is concerned. Now, only two things in this, that there are certain prejudices. What are the kind of restrictions? In India, generally, there are certain kind of restrictions or misconceptions about who is the recipient of these. So some feel that only the caste Goswamis can practice Krishna consciousness. Caste Goswamis means those who are coming in the family of the Goswamis. So that is known as caste Goswami. There are many such families, both in Vrindavan and in Mayapur in Bengal, who claim that only we can preach. They are following in the vamsha of Nityananda Prabhu, and they are following in the footsteps of Advaita Acharya, Raghunath, Bhatta Goswami. All those families, they are still continuing even now. They can trace their lineage to the Goswamis, and they feel and they claim and they are convinced only we can practice Krishna consciousness or at least be leaders. So that's like a major classification, caste Goswamis. Or there are ones who are Brahman families. Right? And those who feel that Gaudiya Vaishnava means you have to be Bengali. That means only Sujan can practice Hare Krishna. Others are not allowed. That Gaudiya means Bengali, so if you're not a born Bengali, you can't practice Hare Krishna. So like that. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and there are so many quotations in Shastra regarding how practicing Vaishnavism has nothing to do with your birth. Right? Any quotation from the Gita you can think of? That Krishna consciousness has nothing to do with your birth.
Something like everyone can take this, whatever birth they are, whether they be Sudra, woman, what to speak of, like a saintly king.
That's in the 9th chapter. Krishna says that Kim Punar Brahmana Punya Bhakta Rajarshya Tatha Striyo Vaishya Tatha Shudro Tepi Yanti Paramgatim. Even women, Shudras, etc., they can also be liberated. Apichetasi papebhya, even if one is the most sinful, he can practice. So there is a complete topic in itself as to the qualification for chanting. There is no restriction. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Bhagavad Gita, you will find various quotations in this regard as to how practice of bhakti is not restricted to your birth. And therefore, when Prabhupada was preaching, he would face a lot of opposition. How you can give Brahman initiation to those who are not born in Brahman families? How you can give Brahman initiation to Western people? So that was like one of the major threats Srila Prabhupada was facing from the caste Goswamis. And Srila Prabhupada, he would just quote from these scriptures. Different scriptures, especially in Bhagavatam, very, very famous verse, Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulukasha. Just note the first few words, you can refer to that. This is from the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Kirata Hunandra Pulinda Pulukasha Abhira Shumbha Yavanakhasadaya Yenyecha Papa Yadapashriyashriya Shudhyantitasmai Prabhavishnave. That all these different categories of people are given. Kirata, Hunandra, Pulinda, Pulukasha, Abhira. So you read this purport and come, and then you will see that these are various kinds of uncultured people. Yenyecha papa yadapashreya ashreya. Even if they may be sinful, but if they practice bhakti, shuddhyanti, they become purified. So the whole emphasis is on qualification and not on just birth. And this is a major issue in India, especially the caste Goswamis and those who are Brahmin families. And therefore it is described that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, at that time there were restrictions. And the people, the caste Goswamis were saying that you cannot chant this holy name anywhere. It's not allowed. And you only few people. What is that? There is a verse which says that kya hoga? Ho gaya na bas. Aadhe ghante rukne bolna. Aadhe ghante rukne bol. Ho jayega. Govinda Pundarikaksha Nama Uchare Snanera Samaye. The verse says that certain restrictions were there. You have to be born in a certain family. Secondly, only those who are born in Brahmin families can chant the holy name. Snanera samay, the time, only during taking bath you can chant holy name. When you are taking a bath in the Ganges, in the holy river, that means the place, that means you can't chant the holy name anywhere. But during taking bath, when you are in the holy river Ganges, then you should chant the name. And that also, which names? Govinda Ati Bada Sukriti Se Snanera Samaye Govinda Pundrikaksha Nama Uchare. Ati Bada Sukriti, that means only someone with lot of Sukriti, pious credits, was born in Brahmin family. Snanera samay, snan ke samay, during time of bath, in the holy river, Govinda Pundarikaksha. So they can chant only these two names, Govinda and Pundarikaksha. That is also specific number of times. You take the water in your hand, offer it back to the Ganges, Govindaya Namah, Govindaya Namah, Govindaya Namah, Om Pundarikaksha, Namah Pundarikaksha. Finished. If you chant beyond that, it is sinful. Not allowed. Only that time. And only the Brahmins. So this was a very, very common, prevalent misconception. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in order to kick this misconception, to demolish this, he gave the second verse of the Shikshashtakam. What is the second verse of Shikshashtakam? Nam Nam Akari Bahudha Nija Sarva Shakti. Have you heard this Shikshashtakam verse? Morning we chant every day. Nam Nam Akari Bahudha Nija Sarva Shaktis. So Nam Nam Akari Bahudha. The first thing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the verse is, there are millions of names of Lord. So this is demolished. This argument is defeated. Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis Tatrarpita Niyamita Smarane Na Kala. So time and place argument is defeated. Etadrishi Tavakripa Bhagavan Mamapi. Therefore, if the Lord gives the mercy, then anyone can take that. Therefore, the qualification argument is destroyed. Durdaivam idrisham iha janina anuraga. My dear Lord, you are giving so much of your mercy, but I am so unfortunate, I am not having taste for this holy name. So when you're chanting the Shikshashtak prayer in the morning, you should know there is a reason. Historically, during the period when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, between 1486 AD to 1540 AD, in that period, the society was such that these misconceptions were very common. Another reason, many times people question, what does the Mahamantra is given in which Upanishad? Keno Upanishad, Katho Upanishad, or Mundaka Upanishad, none of the above. Hare Krishna Mahamantra is in which Upanishad? Kali Santaran Upanishad, note down. Because if you are telling people, chant Hare Krishna, they will say, why the hell should I chant? Which book says it? Kali Santaran Upanishad. I'll write it here. Sorry? Yeah. Ati Bada Sukriti Se Snanera Samaya. That is in Chaitanya Charitamrita verse. The misconceptions? Yeah, because generally these are the things which people keep in mind for doing any activity. No, it's not stated. These are misconceptions. It's never stated in the scriptures. Scriptures are very clear. Anyone, Ahobata Shripacho Garyan, whole book filled with verses we can give on how it is irrespective of birth. No. Nowhere. You can see, I can give quotations from the Srimad Bhagavatam. But basically, if you just read that one purport, which I just mentioned, you'll get some good idea about this whole topic. Otherwise, there is a whole book written by Bhaktisiddhanta called Brahman and Vaishnav. For reference, you can read this book, Brahman and Vaishnav. It's available in the stall or even in our library. And there was a meeting at Midnapur in Bengal, very famous, where Bhakti Vinod Thakur was supposed to go and defend, because they were arguing with Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur how you can give Brahman initiation to non-Brahmans. Shaligram can only be worshipped by born Brahmans. It is outrageous that someone who is not a born Brahman is worshipping Shaligram. Right, that was the condition here. So, unless you are born in this place, you can't figure out what's so outrageous about it. But that's how the culture was here. And so when Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur started giving to anyone and everyone born from any family, they considered it terrible. And so Bhakti Vinod Thakur was supposed to go. He was sick, so he sent his son. And this was an assembly at Midnapur where more than 100,000 people had assembled to witness the debate. And there were at least 1,000 Brahmins, all very powerful. And they were supposed to argue, and Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was defending this whole stance. And so first all these Brahmins, they spoke, and then Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he started. And when he began, he first glorified the Brahmins like hell. He just glorified the Brahmins. He was quoting from scriptures left, right and center, which even the Brahmins didn't know, that we are so glorious. And they felt really overwhelmed. And they were wondering whether this is a debate or he's defending us. He's glorifying us. He's supposed to argue against us. And he went on quoting from scriptures, that all that is there in that book. That book is nothing but a transcript of his whole speech. The presentation, the paper which he presented that time, that's there in the form of this book. Brahman and Vaishnav. Who is a Brahman? Like that. So then he made this whole presentation. of how the Brahmins are glorious, and the Brahmins were jumping in ecstasy that, hey, he's with us. And then he ended his first part of his presentation, and then he began the second part, at who is a Brahmin? Right. Who is a Brahmin? Who can be a Brahmin? And then he started making his presentation on how anyone from any background, irrespective of birth, he can be a Brahmin. Is the body Brahmin? Is the soul Brahmin? If the body is Brahmin, then if you are burning the body after death, you are doing Brahmahatya. It is killing of a Brahmin. So body cannot be Brahmin. Right? So is the soul Brahmin? But Krishna is saying soul is eternal, unborn. So who is the Brahmin? You are talking so much about Brahmin, but who is the Brahmin? Is the body Brahmin or the soul Brahmin? So all those Brahmins got bewildered. And then he went on to give examples of some of the greatest Brahmins in history and how they have been born. Right? Drona, he was born from a cup. Semen collected in a cup. And from that he was born. Valmiki was born from anthill. Vyasa, Kaivatra Kanyayam. Vyasdeva was born from fisherwoman. Right? Vidura was born from Shudra lady. And list of different great souls who were not even born from human species, he mentions. Right? Bharadwaj Rishi, Bharadwaj, Bharadwaj. So literally, Bharadwaj means illegitimate child. Bharadwaj. Bhara means burden. One whose birth is a burden. Illegitimate child. There is no history of the father. So some of the greatest rishis have very strange records of their birth. So how can you argue that Brahman is based on birth? And then he went on for 5-6 days like this. And at the end of his presentation, the crowd, because most of the crowd was all non-Brahman, so they were supposed to benefit from this argument. And they felt so jubilant, they all barged towards the stage to take dust off Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's feet. 1 lakh people were mad with ecstasy. And the police saw that there is going to be a riot. So they caught Bhaktisiddhanta and took him inside, put his feet in a bucket of water, and then that became Charanamrit. So that they transferred to a big drum of water. And they took that water and sprayed it on the crowd and said, here is the Charanamrit of this Mahatma. And the people were just taking that sprinkles of droplets of water and feeling joyful. Otherwise, there would have been a big riot. They would have separated his leg. You know, they were in so much of ecstasy. They were just going for his feet. His presentation was so overwhelming that the whole crowd was moved. So that's one of the most historic successes in our sampradaya, in contemporary times, of establishing how anyone from any qualification, any background, can practice Krishna consciousness like that. And another example is Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically chose Haridas, born in the family of Muslims. And then he was given this Namacharya. Another example is Narad Muni himself, born as son of a maid servant. So like that, so many examples are there. It's a topic in itself. So preaching without restriction. So like, Kali Santaran. So Kali, Srinath ji ka wo hai na Kali Santaran Upanishad, wo leke aao. Sun, Taran. So what is the meaning of Upanishad? Upa means near. Right. So originally the scriptures were heard by sitting near Guru. So when a disciple sits near a Guru and hears, so all those original sages who heard all the Vedas from Vyasadeva, and then they went in different directions, different schools, and they spoke the condensed essence to their disciples. So Upa, Nishad means that knowledge which is heard by sitting near spiritual master. And therefore we call also fasting day as Upavas. Fasting is called Upavas, you must have heard. Upavas means you sit near a holy man and hear and chant the glories of the Lord on that day. So sun, whenever this word sun comes in Sanskrit, it is a short form for samyak. Samyak means perfect. It's a prefix which means perfect. Right? Sankirtan. Sanshodhan. Sankirtan means perfect. The best possible kirtan. So san taran. Taran comes from the Sanskrit word tarati, means to swim. You know Hindi? Tairna? You know? What do you call in Gujarati? Swim. Huh? Tarna? Right. Same. Tairna or tarna. So, to swim. To swim where? Which swimming are we talking about? The English Channel? The swimming pool? Swim where? Ocean. Ocean of nescience. To perfectly swim across. You may swim, but you may also drown in the middle somewhere. So perfect swim means you start from a point and cross over completely. So santaran. So to cross the ocean of Kali, Kaliyuga is an ocean of faults. Kaler dosha nidhe rajan. So to swim across the ocean of Kali, that knowledge which will help you, that is known as Kali Santaran Upanishad. Kali, Kali. Kali means the latest yuga in which you are. You know this yuga's name? Kali Yuga. Before that? Treta, yeah. Like that. So Kali. So now, in this Kali Santaran Upanishad, the Maha Mantra, how is it mentioned? Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It begins with Hare Ram in the Upanishad. Now, question is, why the hell all of you are chanting Hare Krishna first? ISKCON, you're always different. You always do things different. If it is Hare Ram, why you are chanting Hare Krishna first? That shows you're all Krishna fanatics. You have something against Ram. So what is the answer? If it is Hare Ram, why it is Hare Krishna? Yeah, guess, no problem.
Brahmanas and stuff. So Lord Chaitanya changed it round so everyone could chant it.
So this was a exact answer I was looking for. When people were chanting Hare Ram, Hare Ram, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving this mantra to everyone, so Brahmins were arguing, this is a Vedic mantra, Upanishad mantra, how can you give it to the masses? Unless you are born Brahman, you can't accept this mantra, you can't chant this mantra, you can't distribute freely. Lord Chaitanya said, okay, my mantra is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Is it there in Upanishad? No? Shut up. I will just distribute it, okay? Hey, you can't. Why? It is not an Upanishad mantra. It is our own mantra, okay? It's our own business. So cool. So that was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's strategy. So when anyone asks you, and more or less only Indians will ask you, because they know all these subtle things given in scripture. They know all these things to avoid doing it. That is the problem. They don't know all these things to try to do it, but they will bring up some esoteric arguments just to justify that why they are not doing. That is the problem. Huh? Hare Ram, Hare Krishna. So, you will always find someone who knows this fact from the scripture and he'll put an argument. So, you should be ready with this. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned it upside down to defeat the Brahman's useless argument. He didn't have to, but society was so heavily loaded against him in those days that he had to set a perfect example. And therefore he did this. So this is the first. Whom to preach? And in regards to Srila Prabhupada's life, Prabhupada was preaching. He was practically the only person who went out of his way to give this without any restriction all over the world. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur began by making it all over India. And Prabhupada went one step ahead all over the world without restriction. Otherwise, in the Madhva Math, in the Vedas, there is description that one who crosses the ocean and goes outside of India, he loses his caste. So even in our own sampradaya, before Lord Chaitanya, we are part of Madhva line. So there are 8 mathas, Ashtamath. Madhvacharya left behind 8 main temples, mathas. And every 2 years, one matha takes care of the worship of the Udupi Krishna temple. So they are so orthodox that they do not allow any of their acharyas to leave India. One of them did that a few years back. Went to US and came back. He was ostracized. He's not allowed. Right. And on Thursday, there is going to be a very historic occasion that Pejavar Math Swami, who is one of the Ashtamatha Swamis, very senior, and he was the person who was the brain behind the Vishwa Hindu Parishad, VHP. You know VHP? It's also there in England. Vishwa Hindu Parishad. Sitaram Prabhu's father-in-law is one of the main leaders of VHP in UK. Sitaram Prabhu's wife's father. So he is going to give Brahman initiation to one Dr. Alwa, who is born not in Brahman family but in a Kshatriya family, Shetty community, and that's creating a furore in their whole organization there, and several newspapers want to cover the event, that why and how a Madhva sannyasi is giving Brahman diksha to someone not born in Brahman family. That's going to make newspaper headlines in some parts of India. But then he didn't want that controversy, so he's told them that don't publicize this event right now. And he's like kind of taken initiation from Pejavar Math Swami, and he accepts Radhanath Maharaj as Shiksha Guru because he was introduced to Krishna consciousness by him. And he wants, both of them will be present in the ceremony. And Pejavar Math Swami will give the mala, what do you call that, sacred thread. But they don't apply it on anyone. They don't put that sacred thread on anyone. Then Radhanath Maharaj will put the sacred thread on him. So then Pejavar Math Swami is sharing the same platform with Radhanath Maharaj, who is, according to their understanding, coming from West. So even that is a major event from their point of view. But he is a very highly elevated devotee. Pejavar Math Swami is 80 years old, very advanced Vaishnava, and he is the one who glorifies Prabhupada like anyone, anything. And Madhvacharya was unknown to the whole world. Who made Madhvacharya known to the whole world? Srila Prabhupada. So therefore, he is very much a great supporter of ISKCON, and because of Dr. Alva, he is closely connected to our temple he visits. But he is one of the persons who is called upon by the prime ministers to help in troubleshooting during Hindu-Muslim riots, and is close to all these different politicians. Very heavily influential. He's only just 5'2", and his sannyas danda is only this much. Why? Because he took sannyas at the age of 10. So he is a sannyasi for last 70 years. He was this big when he took sannyas, so his sannyas danda is this big. Like that. So that's going to be a very historic event, the day after Radhashtami. That's in their mutt there at Andheri. So this is a big issue. And therefore Prabhupada, he was questioned, how you are giving this? Prabhupada's one of the disciples went to Radharaman temple. And the caste Goswami, like Radharaman temple means, who founded Radharaman temple? Gopala Bhatta Goswami. So his descendants, his family members, they are now running the temple. And they think that they are better than anyone else. So when Prabhupada's ISKCON devotees went, so the pujari gave Charanamrita and said, good, you are now chanting Hare Krishna under Swami Prabhupada. You keep doing this, after you leave the body, next life you can become Goswami in Vrindavan. And this devotee came back and reported to Prabhupada that this is what this Goswami is saying. Prabhupada said, go back and tell him that you keep worshipping Radha Raman, next lifetime you will become a hippie in San Francisco. You will meet the Hare Krishna devotees and then you will go back to Godhead. So there are so many people who keep arguing like this back and forth, and especially Prabhupada to face even opposition from many of his god brothers. Brahman initiation to women. Never heard that before. It is, from one point of view, scandalous in India. But Prabhupada, he said, where it is said, anyone can receive. And Prabhupada did that. So he made changes according to time, place and circumstance. Some of them were so revolutionary that the typical orthodox Indians have a hard time accepting it. And even in India, we find that it takes some time before people start accepting. Okay, it's no problem. And even now, our Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan is known as Angrez Mandir. Angrez Mandir means, Angrez means English. They call it, hardly anyone knows it as Krishna Balaram Mandir. Angrezon ka Mandir hai. Angrez Mandir means some Western people are running that. But they don't know what is the mood behind that. So therefore, when Prabhupada first came and he started preaching, there was this one filmmaker called Devanand. He made a film, Hare Krishna Hare Ram, Hindi film. You have heard that song, Dam Maro Dam? Oh, it's famous in London also. And Prabhupada said it's a conspiracy of the government to crush this Hare Krishna movement. So many enemies. And they just showed that devotees are just smoking pot, a bunch of crazy hippies, and then all this very jazzy music, and the Mahamantra is there in that. Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. So Giriraj Maharaj was in, at that time, Chennai, in Madras. And he wanted to know, what's this, big thing going on. So he asked some local man, okay, what is this song all about? And that fellow didn't know Hindi properly. So the song goes, Dam maro dam, mit jaye gam, bolo subha sham, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. So this What actually it means is, you just smoke morning and evening, and while smoking marijuana, you just chant Hare Krishna, you'll attain higher state. So this man, he translated to Giriraj Maharaj that this song says, you chant Hare Krishna morning and evening and you'll be in bliss. He forgot the smoking part. So Giriraj Maharaj thought that this is fantastic preaching. You know, if the song says just chant Hare Krishna and be happy, so maybe it is good for preaching. So when he was in Calcutta, Giriraj Maharaj bought ticket for this film and went to watch this movie. And then he entered the film hall, saw the first few scenes. First scene was okay. They showed Harinam Sankirtan. And what this producer had done was, in Juhu, this producer, he had his house. So he invited Prabhupada and his disciples for a house program. And that rascal secretly filmed the whole thing. And he just put shots from that in the opening of the film. Right? So nobody could deny it is Hare Krishna devotees. And then after that the scenes changed and Giriraj Maharaj understood, this is not preaching. He came out and met Prabhupada and said, what is this? And Prabhupada said, don't worry. This Hare Krishna movement is very powerful. If you chant Hare Krishna, in due course of time, how long people will remember this Dhammarudam? After some time, they will forget this Dhammarudam, but they will remember Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And at that time, in 1971-72, ISKCON was called CIA agent. Right? They were harassing ISKCON devotees, calling it CIA agent. And Prabhupada would ask, which CIA agent gets up 3:30 in the morning? Which CIA agent takes bath? Right? And sometimes the police would... One time the police attacked the Juhu temple, saying that we have got secret information that the dome, you know, the temple dome, and on top there is a spire. So that is a transmitting agency. That is a wireless transmitter, which is sending daily messages and reports to CIA in US. So the police came to search, and they climbed on top of that spire, and a few rats came out. That is all they found. And they searched, they wanted to search Prabhupada's quarters. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, no. This is a very spiritual, holy place. But they wouldn't listen. They went to the DT room. They went to this, all of these DT's clothes. They went to Prabhupada's quarters. They searched Prabhupada's quarters. And there, this police chief, he told Tamal Krishna Maharaj that, now you tell me, why are we behind you so much? So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, maybe because we are foreigners. So the police chief said, there are foreigners in the Holiday Inn hotel next to your temple. More foreigners are there in the Holiday Inn resort than here in the Hare Krishna temple. Why we are coming here? So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, I don't know, you tell me. And he said, in Holiday Inn, everyone is peacefully enjoying smoking, drinking, womanizing, prostitution, meat eating. But here, all of you guys are saying, no eating meat, no drinking, no prostitution, no gambling, and therefore you are a big threat. And therefore we have come to close you down. So you can imagine, the nature of demons always remains same. Right, this is demoniac. As soon as the demons see their influence is going to be cut, they will attack, no matter where you are. And therefore, this issue that someone is born in Western family, this, that is not the main thing. The main reason for opposition lies somewhere else. That the economy will be threatened, the sales of all these various liquor and gambling and all this business will be threatened. And because Indians are too much influenced by West, and when they see Western people becoming spiritual and pious, it will be too much influence. And therefore the government tried their best to stop. Otherwise, after Prabhupada came back from the West, the first Pandal program was in Cross Maidan. This is in near Viti. And next February 2005, Shyam Sundar Prabhu is organizing the 25th anniversary of this Pandal program. And that is the program through which Lokanath Maharaj and Radhanath Maharaj became devotees. They were in that crowd and Srila Prabhupada saw them and called them. So that is the 25th anniversary of that in February. So in Cross Maidan every day 40 to 50,000 people they were coming. And Bombay had never seen such a spiritual reawakening. And Prabhupada and his dancing white elephants, they overpowered the whole of Mumbai. And on the last day, Prabhupada conducted an amazing ceremony. It was a marriage ceremony on stage in front of 50,000 people with Western devotees dressed in typical Indian bridal outfits. The groom and the bride both were in Indian clothes. And for the audience, it was like mind-boggling. Because in India, generally they like marriages. Right? And when they saw it on stage with Western people doing that, you see the newspaper cuttings of that time, you'll imagine, you can see what kind of impact Prabhupada had. And that was like the beginning that Indians, they started taking interest in Krishna consciousness when they saw the impact Prabhupada had made in the West. And definitely the intelligentsia accepted it well, but they were always those caste Goswamis and Brahmins whose position was threatened, because it was in their interests that not many people understand these things. So that is the most important consideration. Anyone who opposes these, you should know, he has financial considerations mainly. Business is affected. Right? So like for example, if for any puja you have to come to me and you have to pay me £100 for doing that puja. Right? But then he comes around and tells you, I will give you a 1 hour lecture on how you can do that puja yourself. You don't have to go to the agent. You can do it yourself. So, does it not affect me? It affects me. Right? So the Brahmins, they were like the agents who would get things done, some religious things done, and they would take a commission. So by the spread of the Hare Krishna movement, their commission is being threatened. And naturally they will revolt. So the government or the Goswamis or anyone who revolts, apparently quoting Shastric reasons, that is superficial. The main is, financially, they are at a loss. Right? Just like if you want to show your balance sheet, you go to chartered accountant. You want to invest money, you go to stockbroker. Right? Similarly, if you want to do some ceremony, someone dies and you want to conduct the ceremony. Someone is born and you want to conduct a ceremony. You want to do some puja, you want to do a marriage. Whom do you go to? You need to go to someone who understands scripture. So these Brahmins profess to understand scripture but charge money for it. Whereas by Prabhupada's books and ISKCON movement, a class was created who were doing all these services but without any remuneration, opening the doors. And that was intolerable for people. So that is the main principle. Preach without restriction. Huh? Oh, AC? It's too cold. It's a good feedback for the AC man. Because I told him that we'll just see whether your thing works or not. It seems to be working too well. Right. Yeah, any questions?
Yeah. There was an issue that came before the GBC. Are they allowed to have disciples?
Any simple questions?
Although we should preach without restriction? Is there some benefit to like target certain things like the youth or people who are actually looking for spiritual knowledge?
Well, why we definitely preach to everyone, but we have specific divisions within our society where we can target different audiences. Right, so here we have a children's program also, and then we have once in 2 months program for children between the age of 5 and 15, and this whole courtyard in front we make into a playground. You know, we bring all these roller coaster kind of things, put it there in a cage filled with balls. Kids can go and throw those things. You know, you've seen those kid stuff. So this whole place filled with that. And then we have a huge range of foodstuffs. You can go and eat what you want. So that's for the children. And then 15 to 30, we have this youth festival, Prerna. And for girls, Chetana. So that's for the youth. And for those who are married, we have the counselor's system. Counselor meetings once in every 2 weeks. So that takes care of the married. And after 50, we call it Varishta Vaishnav, elderly Vaishnav. So we have a Sangha for that. Varishta Vaishnav Sabha, elderly Vaishnavas group. And they have a weekly meeting where some seminars are given on improving health, you know, how to facilitate medical things and other things, or dealing with family, alternative engagement, relevant issues for them. They are, you know, given training in that. Plus, we also give a Varishta Vaishnav badge. Elderly Vaishnavas, they are given ID card. So once they show ID card, they don't have to stand in prasadam queue. So that certain facilities are there. They can go in anywhere. Nobody will stop. Any security man anywhere, they just say, Varishta Vaishnav. Oh, please come. So they don't have to stand in prasadam line because they are elderly. Certain privileges are given. So practically the whole, from womb to tomb, that's Krishna consciousness. You cover everyone from womb to tomb. When you are in the womb, then certain samskaras to help them, the child who is in the womb, so there are samskaras for that. And everything is done by devotees. So some of these marriage ceremonies which devotees conduct, so many relatives become impressed because for the first time they see that things are being explained properly. Right? On 1st November there is a marriage, Gaurari's marriage. Any other marriage before that? So you should see one of the marriages which is conducted. You have seen? Sorry? He's getting married? When? On Radhashtami? No, here, in temple. No, it can't be on Radhashtami. Because we don't give out on festival days for marriage. But whenever is the next marriage, you can see that he has this microphone and he'll chant a mantra and then he'll explain what this mantra means, why he's chanted this, and then he'll do something and then he'll say why he's doing this. So this kind of explanation you never see. And the relatives, they become impressed. You know, they see, okay, Hare Krishna, they are good. They are explaining everything in a marriage. Like that. Band kar diya? Nahi, off kar do. We are almost done. Yeah. So, we have different kinds of things for everyone. So, practically everyone is, and all, everyone comes on the Sunday. Right? So generally other days of the week you will see the temple is practically empty. At least in the daytime. 12:30 aarti and all, hardly anyone. Morning or afternoon. But Sunday and festival, people just come from all over. And tomorrow Radhashtami is one of our biggest festivals. The number one festival is Sharad Purnima, which is on 28th October. That draws the largest crowd. That and one more in January, Pushya Abhishek, flower Abhishek, We bring 1 ton of flowers. Yeah, it's there in Simple Temple. And those petals are thrown on the deities. These two are our top festivals. And then after that is Radhashtami. So tomorrow we'll have, you know, we have to distribute 3,000 devotees, top, bottom, everywhere. They'll be all over the place in the evening. Of course, tomorrow is also a complication because this is the fifth day of Ganpati. So they have to go and immerse Ganeshji. And this is one of the points. This beach here, that's one of the main places where some of the biggest idols of Bombay are immersed. So there's a lot of noise all through the evening into the night. You know, and then 28th will be the last day. Today evening, I believe you're going to see one of these Ganeshji. They've made a mukut, crown, or some kind of ornament costing 1 crore on this, just for this 10 days period. Yeah, this is a bona fide pandali you're going, because they are Vaishnavas. And what they do is they first offer everything to Shaligram, and then that Shaligram Mahaprasad is offered to Ganeshji. Like that. So you'll be seeing that today evening. So you're arranging for them? Okay, any other points? Any other problems? Yeah.
I just wanted to ask about the caste system. In previous ages, was it by birth? If you're born a Brahmin, was it by birth?
It was not before Maharaj Parikshit disappeared. But gradually, after the disappearance of Maharaj Parikshit, the point where it began was Sringi's curse. Sringi's cursing of Maharaj Parikshit was the beginning of the degradation. So you can write reference. First canto, chapter 18, purports give this explanation by Srila Prabhupada. That the degradation began from that point because of false pride. Sringi, having that knowledge, did not have the culture. So that's what I was referring to. If you have only knowledge, but not the culture, then what happens is there is misuse of that knowledge. So Sringi was of a tiny, insignificant brat. Right? And he was dealing with a Mahabhagavat Vaishnav who is Maharaj Parikshit. And he may have committed a small error. That's fine. But just see the degree of false pride of this puny fellow, that he has the audacity to curse him to die. So that is, and then he uses words like that Kulangarasya Durbuddhe, that this Parikshit is the lowest of his family. And he even uses words like Grihapala. Kshatriyas are like watchdogs. Kshatriyas are protectors. So they are saying that this protector means he's a dog. So this Parikshit is like a dog. And how can a dog hope to eat on the same dining table as the master? That is the kind of language he uses. That clearly indicates he has a feeling of superiority based on birth. Because Parikshit came and asked for water from Shamik Rishi. So Sringi's point is, if my father didn't give water, that's obvious because the master need not entertain the dog. That was his whole logic. So that was the beginning. The false pride crept in. Before that, everything was moving smoothly. And the degradation was gradually happening from the time of the Kauravas. You know, that's why Krishna came. Vinashaya cha duskritam. Perfect is Satyuga beginning, 100%. At the end of Satyuga, you are left with 75%. At the end of Treta Yuga, you are left with 50%. Dwapar Yuga begins with 50, ends with 25. Kali Yuga begins with 25% goodness. Ends with Kalki coming and mass samhar.
I was just thinking though, in the Mahabharat, like Karna, and often he would be like, you know, chastised by like for Bhishma or someone like that, you know, because he was born, it was a low born, but it was quite blatantly a Kshatriya. He had all the qualities and all the nature of a Kshatriya, but so many times he was condemned for being born in a Shudra family. So why like this?
I'll wait for Govinda Prabhu to take his series and he will explain the answer in more detail, because he has taken a whole series here in the temple, 8 to 10 lecture series on controversies in the Mahabharat. Controversies in the Mahabharat is a complete topic in itself. So he takes one character and takes the typical controversies about them and then smashes that from our point of view, Gaudiya Vaishnava point of view. Another typical is Ekalavya. Ekalavya is another controversial character. So there are explanations for each, but then I'll wait for him to give all, because I'm not too much into Mahabharat. I can give some answer, but he can give you the perfect understanding for this. The whole background with commentaries from Madhvacharya and everything. Prabhupada didn't give commentaries for Mahabharat, but Madhvacharya gave commentaries, which is in Kannada. And he understands Kannada, so he has all these purports on the Mahabharat. We have experts for each subject, so we just allow them to take. I can tell you, but it will be more convincing when he speaks, yeah?
Sorry, I'm taking up your time. At the moment in ISKCON, everyone's being trained to be like a Brahmin. So when will the structure of Kshatriya, Vaishya and Sudra come, and how will they all be Vaishnavas? I don't really understand.
I think I gave a Bhagavatam class in the manner where I described the 4 different types of Varnashram. Right? There is the Asuri Varnashram, there is a normal Varnashram, there is emergency Varnashram, and there is Daivi Varnashram. Right? These are the 4 types of Varnashram. So what we are following is Daivi Varnashram. Again, first is Asuri Varnashram. Means someone claims to be Brahman, but is not actually practicing as Brahman. You will find taxi driver in Bombay who is driving, and he'll tell you, I am also Brahman, and he'll show his thread. And he'll quote 3-4 verses also. Right. Taxi drivers are, you know, you can have a lot of philosophical dialogue on the way in India. So sometimes you have to pay them 5 rupees extra to shut up. They just drive, okay? Don't speak. Because they're all into so many different scriptures, and that's one problem. Right. So that is one. And typically you'll never find a taxi in India which has some pictures of some naked girl or, you know, like this or that. You'll always find some Ganesh ji or Sai Baba or this Baba or that Baba or something or the other with one garland there, because they are very afraid that if we have these deities of someone and something, and we offer them puja, so our business will go on well. At least that much understanding they have. So, coming back to the point, if he is saying that I am Brahman, he is actually driving taxi. That's not the job of a Brahman, as given in Bhagavad Gita. Nowhere Krishna says like that. It's supposed to be, there are 6 services of a Brahman. What are the 6 services of Brahman? Pathan, Patan, Yajan, Yajan, Dan, Pratigra. These are the 6 duties. Braj, likha. Pathan, Patan, Yajan, Yajan, Dan, Pratigra. That means learning, studying, teaching. Yajan, performing sacrifice and engaging others in sacrifice. dana, giving in charity, and pratigra, accepting in charity. These are the six duties of a Brahman. Yajana is engaging others in sacrifice. And dana, pratigra. So this is, if someone is not doing this but still claiming, my name is Sharma, so we are Brahman, I am Tiwari, I am Chaturvedi, I am Iyer, I am Iyengar, or in your Gujarati or Panda, right? Bhat, Panda are all Brahman surname. You are Bhat. Pandya. In UP it is Pande, in Orissa it is Panda, and in Gujarat is Pandya. So that is like our. And Ranjan ka naam kya tha? Thakar. Thakar is also one Brahman surname in Gujarati. Joshi also. Joshi, Thakar, Pandya. So if they say, we are Brahman. Like that. What else? Some of them say? Okay. I don't know. So that's what is as far as Asuri Varnashram. And the second is normal Varnashram. Normal means that someone is practicing, but he doesn't know the purpose of his practice. Why he is practicing? Someone is doing yajna, like typical pandits who come to a house and do puja. They will just do puja. So they are practicing life of Brahman. They are born Brahman. They are also doing the work of Brahman, but they don't know what is the ultimate goal. Why they are doing. They don't know the purpose. They are doing as a ritual. An example is, in 10th canto, the wives of the Brahmins and the Brahmins, Krishna and Balram, they ask for some food and they don't give. You know that story? So that's from that. That's an example of that. Third is emergency. Due to some specific reason, person is working in that Varnashram. So example is, our Dronacharya is a Brahman, he is a teacher, but because of emergency he is fighting on the battlefield, acting as a Kshatriya. And fourth is Daivi. That means a person is a Kshatriya, acts as a Kshatriya, and knows why he is acting as a Kshatriya. Example, Arjun. He is a Kshatriya, his actions are also like Kshatriya, and he knows I am acting for Krishna's pleasure. Daivi Varnashram. So we are all following the Daivi Varnashram. That means you can also perform any activity for Krishna's pleasure. That is the main principle. So sometimes we are acting as Brahman. Morning Bhagavatam class we are giving. Right? And then immediately after that, you have to clean the floor. So that is Shudra. Then you have to go out, book distribution, sell and get money. That's Vaishya. And then you have to come back and chastise devotees, Kshatriya. Organize things, do this, do that. So managing is Kshatriya. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Everything is there in one day in the life of a devotee. Therefore Hare Krishna devotee is different. Therefore many of them get into identity crisis. Who am I? They ask that question first day when they come, and they ask that question many years later also. Who am I? What am I doing? What is my role? I'm getting confused. Right? So it's definitely because of lack of manpower. And in one sense, specialization is good, but just doing so many things also is good. Because the whole mood is of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Naham vipro nacha narapati. Write down these few lines. Write this verse. Naham vipro nacha narapatir napi vaishyo na shudro naham varni na garapatir na vanastho yatirva किंतु प्रोद्यन निखिल परमानंद पूर्णामृताब्देर गोपी भरतुर पद कमलयोर दास दास दासानुदास. दिस इज द बेसिस फॉर अवर एंटायर लाइफ स्टाइल. Right. So if anyone asks you, are you Brahman? Hare Krishna? Are you Vaishya? Are you Shudra? So you should quote Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's version. Naham vipro nacha narapatir napi vaishyo na shudro. Naham varni. Na vanastho yatirva. So basically it means I am not Brahman. Vipro means Brahman. Narapati means king. Kshatriya. Vaishya. I am not Vaishya. I am not Shudra. And I am not a Brahmachari. I am not a Grihastha. I am not a Vanaprastha. I am not a Sannyasi. So all Varnashram is covered. So question, who are you then? You are neither Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grihast, Vanaprast, Sannyas. Then what am I? Kintu Prodyan Nikhla. Paramananda Purnamrtabdhirayata. It is there in the verse book. You can check out. So if you have folio or something, you can put in that laptop some folio also. And you can keep checking verses. Because we'll be dealing a lot of verses and you won't be able to register all of that in the class, but you can go back and, you know, also refer. Purnamrtabdher Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayur. So Gopi Bhartur. Bhartu means master. So who is the master of the gopis? Krishna. Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayur means following in the footsteps of the gopis, das, das, dasanudas. Okay. That means I am the servant of the servant of the servant of God. That is my identity. What is your aspiration in ISKCON? You want to be Brahman? No. Kshatriya? No. We just want to be servant. So we find all of Prabhupada's disciples and Prabhupada engaged them. Prabhupada just called upon them to do anything, anytime. Right? One time they would be doing one thing, another time something else. So our training is like that. That's what our, this package is also. So we have some Brahmanical part, then, you know, book distribution you're already doing. Sometimes in UK, we can have some seminars on book distribution also for them. Just brief. Part of these courses only. Some of the basic principles, he can take that for you. Book distribution techniques and some principles like that. Only thing is time is short. Many things to learn. Yeah? Better to? Yes, better to do one's own duty means if temple commander tells you, you do this now, so you do that. Right? Like now Shruti Dharma Prabhu has told you, you come here and take this training. So you do this now. So you follow this schedule. So that's your doing your duty. Right? So now this class time is going on. At that time you feel, okay, let me go and check out what's happening in the college nearby. Or let me go and take darshan of Babulnath. We have then, our neighbor is one of the biggest Shiva temples in Bombay. Babulnath. It's on top of the hill. We'll go for a visit there. Right? Always when there is Krishna temple, there is a protector, Shiva temple nearby. In Juhu, there is Mukteshwar. Huh? What is that? And in here, Babulnath. And in, if you go to Vrindavan, you'll have all this, Bhuteshwar, Kameshwar, Nandeshwar, Mahadev, Chakaleshwar. So all of these are also there. Okay? So I have to go for a meeting. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. So when Bharat Mrudang Prabhu coming? Okay. Now they have to be introduced to the brahmacharis. I don't know whether you are already familiar with them. Are you beginning to interact with them? Yeah, you just go out and yeah, you just make friends with them, and during this yoga ladder classes we'll be having together. You'll be having along with the brahmacharis for these 5 days. So that time we'll have group exercises and you'll get to know more of them, right? Everyone is in their own world, so many things going on. So you have to really catch and develop relationship. You also facilitate. Okay? Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki.